Now we open God's Word once again. If you have your Bibles with you, please open in Psalm 115. As I mentioned this morning, we will be reading the whole Psalm once again. Psalm 115, page 648 in your blue Bibles. The Word of God says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, 'Where is their God?' Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but do not speak, eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear, noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel, feet, but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, again we open your Word. And apart from the wisdom that the Holy Spirit gives, these are but noises. And so we ask that you teach us through your Holy Spirit. May you hide your servant in your shadow, and may Christ be glorified. May your people be edified. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. We continue with our study of this wonderful psalm. The title of our sermon this evening is Trusting and Blessing the Lord Now and Forever. I will have two major points. Again, I have key words for the children. So the first point we have, the godly behold God trustworthy. Our hope is in the Lord. You can see that in verses 9 to 11. The key words for the kids, I trust. I trust. Remember those two words. Now the second point for this evening, the gift of blessedness from generation to generation, praise the Lord. We can see that in verses 12 to 18. And the key words, I bless. I bless. For the first point, the godly behold God trustworthy, our hope is in the Lord. I trust. Let me read verse 9 for us. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Now, the psalmist addressed the nation of Israel first. And Psalms 113 to 118, if you know, are called the Hallel Psalms. These are the Egyptian Psalms. It literally means praise Psalms. But it was also known to be the Egyptian Psalms because based on what they call Gemara, or the collection of scholarly discussions on Jewish law, These psalms were probably prayed and sang by the Jews while they are in the Red Sea, after being delivered by God from the slavery in Egypt. If we also see the development of the Hallel Psalms, its theme is basically about remembering and being thankful to God's providential care in the past for the nation of Israel, and in effect being hopeful and trusting that the God who is in the heavens, who does what he pleases, is able to finish what he has started, and here particularly in the nation of Israel. Now, the psalmist gave a visual of God's providential care for Israel nation in Psalm 114. So if your Bible is still open in that chapter, Psalm 15, you may look at chapter 14 or Psalm 14. Psalm 114, I mean, it says in the first three verses, when Israel went forth from Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled, the Jordan turned back. And this was referring to the double crossing from Egypt to the wilderness through the Jordan River into the land of promise. Now in verse 7, it says, we're still in Psalm 114, it says, "Tremble, O earth, before the Lord, before the God of Jacob." And so all his great works and good works for the deliverance of Israel is because Judah is his sanctuary, Israel his dominion, and he is the God of Jacob. The God who dwells with his people, the God who rules over his people, the God who is faithful to himself, the God who is faithful to his promises for his covenant people. And so remembering God's faithfulness is remembering who he is and who he is with the things he has accomplished for himself and for his people. The God of Jacob is also our God. He does not change. He is immutable. He does not mutate. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, Abraham, who is considered the father of faith, believed in the Lord not because he had experiences in the past where he can always point to and say, "Do it again, do it again." He believed in God because he trusted that God will do what he said and what he promised. As the psalmist in verse 1 also echoed, "For his loving kindness and his truth." If there's one thing that God cannot do, it's to contradict himself. God is faithful to himself. He cannot break his promises. He is truth, or also translated in other versions as faithfulness. And so, understanding the background of this psalm, the Hallel Psalms, while on the onset speak of remembering the faithfulness of God in the past, particularly their deliverance from the slavery in Egypt and from there towards the land of promise, more importantly, it highlights the character of God, that he is faithful to himself, therefore he will be faithful to his promises. And we, with all our anxieties and burdens, can rest in that truth. Therefore, when we remember the faithfulness of God in our lives, our focus should be on his character as a faithful God. That is the objective aspect of trusting God. If God will do what he promised, then the appropriate response, the subjective quantity of trusting the Lord, is for us to wait upon Him. O house of Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. We, the people of God, we trust in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Now it's interesting, in the next verse, in verse 10, the psalmist addressed the house of Aaron. He said, O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And we know the house of Aaron speaks of the priests, the temple servers. And that could be the elders of the congregation that we belong to, the teachers of God's word. It's very encouraging that we are addressed, particularly, and exhorted by the word of God to trust in the Lord. Now, two possible reasons. Number one, it's because we are leaders, right? And therefore, we teach and also live our lives pointing others to God and His ways. Therefore, we are the ones to always remember and not forget. We remember and not forget. Number two, this is an encouragement for those who are heavy laden because of the ministry and everything in it which we entrusted to them. Now, I probably shared this in one or two from the congregation, but I'm a missionary's kid, and I grew up transferring from one place to another. My parents served in the southern part of the Philippines, and if you know that, that's where a lot of Muslim communities are located, and so we served in Muslim communities. My parents planted a lot of churches in the southern part of the Philippines that I literally spent my 6 elementary years in 6 elementary schools in different municipalities. That's why I was able to learn 2 different dialects that are totally different from one another. And being a missionary's kid, being a pastor's kid, I've noticed and I've seen and I've witnessed firsthand the pain of my parents as pastors. I remember the story that they told us when they got married, their support was cut off, and they had to find other jobs in order for them to survive. Now, there's a famous Filipino dish. It's called tinola. I'm hoping in the future, if you invite me again, now, this is me volunteering myself. And take note that I want to be invited when you have a potluck again. Now, I was told by this story of tinola. It's basically papaya and chicken with a lot of water in it and soup. So my parents would always tell us this story that growing up or when we were kids, they would just have this tinola, a lot of soup and a lot of papaya, because they have papaya trees outside their house, but there's no chicken. Just those soup and, of course, our favorite rice. And they've been accused, they've been abused, they've been misunderstood, but they were able to plant churches, a lot of churches. The stereotype is true with my life, actually. All the churches we started in a garage. Now, that's the stereotype of church planting in the Philippines. It always started in the garage. And that's, I grew up doing that. I'm the guitarist of my father. I'm the song leader. And he preached. And I've been in the ministry all my life, that I know that there's a lot of pain in the ministry. There's a lot of things that people in the church do not know that the ministers are experiencing at home. I grew up hating God. I grew up an atheist. If there's one thing I did not want, whenever course, we know elderly people would always ask little children, what do you want to be when you grow up? My answer was one thing. Anything, just not a pastor. Well, now I'm a pastor. But I've seen those pains and those struggles. That's one thing that I would not want my family to experience. And so, when I read this portion in this song, this speaks to me in a very special and a very personal way. It's not a generic address to all the people to trust in the Lord. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. And so for the elders and the deacons here, all the struggles and burdens that we have in the ministry, we can trust in the Lord because He is our shield. He is our strength. He is our help. Now in Psalm 114, I mentioned the phrase, God of Jacob. And this phrase could also mean a portion of Jacob. That is really comforting for ministers like us, whose wounds are oftentimes not shared to public, right? But we are to trust in the Lord. Why? Because He is our portion. He is our portion. He is our help and our shield, who trusts not in the schemes of men, but in the Lord, who is our help and our shield. But this is also a good opportunity to encourage everyone in this church to take care of your pastor. Take care of your pastor's wife. Take care of your pastor's kids. Take care of your leaders. Yes, it is true that the Lord is our help. The Lord is our shield. But God used ordinary means to accomplish that. And most importantly, God used His local congregation to be a blessing to their minister. Now the third recipient of the psalmist's message to trust in the Lord, interestingly, is those who fear the Lord. Verse 9, you who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Now the immediate question that comes to mind is, what is the difference between those who fear the Lord and the nation of Israel? And the simple answer is that this speaks about those who truly fear the Lord. The true believers of God. The church of God from the nation of Israel. The true worshipers of Yahweh, who are not just concerned in arriving in the promised land where they can call that land their home. But those who, like Moses, would say in Psalm 90, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. And that particular psalm happened in the context where Miriam died, Aaron died, Moses struck that rock, and God told him, well, you will not see the promised land. And that was Moses' response. That's hard, but Moses knew that piece of land may be our physical home, but you are God. It's our home. You have been our dwelling place from generation to generation. You are the clouds by day. You are the fire by night. In the tabernacle, your presence is there. You are our home. And those people in Israel are those who truly fear the Lord. Those who truly fear the Lord. Those who do not just concern themselves whether there is still a manna and quail today or tomorrow, but who is concerned in receiving the word of God, the manna from heaven, who eventually we can see in the new covenant is Christ Himself. those who put their hope not just on earthly home, but those who know that God is their true dwelling place. Those who hope to get fed and sustained on their way to the land of promise, but those who truly tasted and seen the goodness of God in their lives, undeserving as they were. Those who praise God not just because of what He has done, but first and foremost because of who He is. It seems that the psalmist needed to make a distinction between the nation of Israel and those who truly fear the Lord. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And so, for the second point, let me challenge all of us to trust in the Lord by striving to live in the fear of the Lord. Let us strive to live in the fear of the Lord, trusting in Him, because He is our help and our shield. We who fear the Lord, we trust in the Lord, we hope in the Lord. He will be our help and He will be our shield. And so for the second point for our sermon this morning, the gift of blessedness from generation to generation, praise the Lord. We can see that in verses 12 to 18 by the key words, I bless. The Lord remembers us. We look back. We can see that in verses 12 to 13. And that's the first thing we want to talk about. The psalmist has made a solid case of encouragement to those who put their trust in the Lord, as He is their help and their shield. You can see that in verses 9 to 11. By pronouncing in verse 12 that Jehovah has remembered us. Jehovah has remembered us. It's interesting, right? That we are to remember the greatness of God and the goodness of God, because first and foremost, Jehovah has remembered us. He is faithful to Himself. There is that build up of words and arguments to back up what the psalmist has exclaimed in the beginning, not unto us, O Lord, none to us, but to Your name give glory, because of Your faithfulness, because of Your loving kindness and Your faithfulness. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. In verse 12, He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. Verse 13, He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. This is an encouragement to us, beloved, that God never forgets. God never forgets. God is faithful and true to Himself and His promises. And so let us lay hold of our eternal life, which our covenant keeper, God, has promised us. Now we can see in verses 13 to 16 that the Lord gives us increase. And so we look forward. In verses 12 to 13, remember, the Lord remembers us, we look back. In verses 13 to 16, the Lord gives us increase, we look forward. It says in verses 13 to 16, He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth He has given to the children of man. Now, what does it mean to be blessed by God? The word blessed has been overused, confused, abused, right? But what does it mean to be blessed by God? In verses 14 to 15, it answers that for us. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. Basically, blessing another is similar to giving an increasing favor. This was an original form of blessings and benediction, which we can find in the first book of the Bible in Genesis. It is similar to be fruitful and multiply. be fruitful and multiply, which explain the phrase to you and your children. So God blessing those who fear and trust Him, He will increase them. We can say literally who they are and what they have and what they do. But again, in view of our message this morning, in Christ. And so we have an increasing joy in enjoying all the good and perfect gifts that come from God. In relationships, in our family, in our church, in art, in music, in our professions, He gives increasing joy in whatever we do, in who we are, given that fearing Him, hoping in Him, and trusting in Him are all translated to a life, a love, a family, a community that are doxological. When we say doxological, it's a life of worship. Well, I prefer to use doxological because, as we all know, a life of worship is also overused, right? And so when we say doxological, we know that everything that we do is to the glory of God. And so, for example, as simple as doing your best in your job, even though your employer is, you know, it's hard to be with. But doing your best in your job is glorifying God, as your job is a gift from God, right? It's actually founded in the fifth commandment, if we know our catechism. Honor your father and your mother. Even though we can say your employer is evil, bad, corrupt, you still need to do your best, because you honor most especially God, who give good gifts. When you study in your school, little children, you make sure that you get as much as stars as possible, or get good grades as possible. Of course, not in a negative way, but doing your best honors God. It's doxological in that sense. In those little things, in the big, up to the big things, we are living a life of doxology. That was the main point of this psalm, after all. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Now, this blessing and increasing is a covenantal language, right? This promise is for those who fear the Lord, and for their household, and for their children. I really love whenever I see covenantal language in the scripture. It encouraged me more than anything else, because when I look at my covenant children, I know that I've been given a wonderful responsibility to bring them up in the fear of the Lord. So God blessing those who fear Him and trust in Him, He will increase them, their joy and their hope and their peace. And we can even say literally, as that blessing and increasing also goes to our children. And so, children, if you are here today, this message is also for you, right? Always remember that my God is also your God. He is great. Remember that. He sits on His throne. And as He takes care of me, He takes care of you. Because He is good. And He loves you. This also means that Jesus Christ is your Savior. That this church is your family. And you have been claimed in your baptism. That's a wonderful picture of our covenantal God. and this is a covenantal congregation. Praise be to God. So, beloved, to be blessed by God is to increase in faith day after day, to increase in the abundance of our affection of God, to increase in our trust in the Lord and our hope in Him. And it's also to increase in wisdom and discernment. How do we live in this fallen world? And so in verse 17, we can see that the dead do not praise the Lord. We look beyond. Verse 17, it says, "The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence." Now, verse 17 is part of the conclusion of this psalm, and it's simply summarizing what the psalmist said earlier in the psalm, how the idols of the heathens are dead, and so those who worship them. Remember that we become like what we worship. And when these heathen nations worship these lifeless, motionless idols, they become like them. They are dead, and the dead do not praise the Lord. Now, it's expected that dead people do dead things, right? It's not surprising that our generation is getting more liberal, we can say that. In this postmodern or post-postmodern generation, it's not surprising how people would change the meanings and the use of words. Now, back at Elder Joel's house, we were talking about this, and I was sharing to him, I was geeking out again in our Greek class, and I was telling him, you know, there's actually 24 ways how to use the definite article da in Greek. We only have one in English, right? T-H-E. But in Greek, there are 24 articles. Well, Greek articles are your best friends when you learn Greek. Why? Because nouns always follow the forms of the Greek articles. And so, it inflects, they call it inflection. So the ending changes depending on several things. Depending on gender, depending on their cases, and depending on their number. And so there's a definite article for a masculine, singular, nominative. Now that's one. There are 24 others. And they're my best friends. But when you read a scripture, you are looking at this blank paper. It doesn't make sense. You look for the article, because the article will tell you what is the gender and what is the number and what is the case. Now, I was telling that insight in the sense that our society right now are trying to change words and change meanings. If you do that in Greek language, back in the days where it was used as universal language, you will be destroying a language. And when you destroy a language, you destroy meaning. And when you destroy meaning, then what is the sense of any of the things in this world? It won't make sense. Right? But that's actually what this society is aiming for. Now, we expect that to happen. Just 2 weeks ago, I received a message and the news in the Philippines that our National Department of Education has actually approved the liberty and the freedom for the students to choose their own pronouns. Philippines. It's the only Christian nation in Asia. That's unheard of 10 years ago. But I still remember I was talking with one of the elders in my previous church 5 years ago, and I told him it's only a matter of time. that these things will be legalized in the Philippines as well. Because 10 years ago, these are, you know, the main issues here in America. And the Philippines is very much influenced by the Western thinking. And so a lot of senators are now pushing for the legality of abortion, the legality of same-sex marriage. And now it has crept into our education system. Now again, that is shocking and saddening, but it's not really surprising in a sense that this is a sinful world. These are dead people doing dead things. But what is alarming is that liberalism has now penetrated the church. And just back in June when we came in America, it was the time where general assemblies are gathering, right? I was very surprised. They were talking about these agendas that 20 years ago, you won't be able to be received as a covenant member in the church. And now they're talking about an office in the church in a homosexual issue. That's alarming. Liberalism has penetrated the church. Liberalism is very much alive in this postmodern generation. But again, that is because sin is real and the effects of sin is real. We are not surprised. We are not surprised at all how this world is continues to succumb in godlessness. We are not surprised that social media platforms has been becoming more toxic than ever. We are not surprised that a lot of confessing believers have a very shallow understanding of theology. Why? Because they got their theology from TikTok and memes. Gone are the days when men of God and women of God would read and read and read and learn from these historical creeds and confessions just to make sense of our catechisms. But now, we are not surprised that this is happening to our society. We are not surprised that killing unborn babies is glorified. Every day, whenever we open our mailbox, right? You can always see that papers pushing you not to vote for the conservatives because they won't allow abortion. What? They even have, you know, commercials in YouTube and in the internet. Wow. We are not surprised that language is altered and relativized, such as the pronouns for the sake of pushing personal agendas. But again, we are very much surprised why these issues are being entertained in our churches. Whatever has happened to our rich confessional tradition. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, may we preserve the purity of the gospel from this pulpit in this church. Liberalism has taken its place inside the Church of Christ, and that is very alarming. Let us uphold the living Word of God, and let us uphold its supremacy over all faith and practice. Let us not let the dead people's ideologies creep into our pulpits and into our congregations. We are people who are alive in Christ, and so we become what we worship. And let us not do these things that dead people do. And now the psalmist concludes his song in verse 18. The godly bless the Lord now and forever. And this is an encouragement to all of us as well as a charge that we continue to look up. It says here, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Let me read that again. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Now, a classic form of poetry to start with the main point and end with the same point. And in this case, this is the result of the psalmist. A plea to his congregation. A strong resolve to bless the Lord now and forever. But we will bless the Lord. And that is a good reminder to ourselves every time we wake up in the morning. A good quote printed on the mug, maybe. But seriously, it's a great reminder. It implies our tendency to forget not to bless the Lord. We are to bless the Lord. We are to glorify the Lord. What does that even mean? To bless the Lord. The opposite of dead people doing dead stuff in verse 17 is people who were made alive together in Christ. We are saved from our sin by grace through faith, and we're made anew in Him for good works. You can see that in Ephesians chapter 2. And that's an obvious implication what it means to bless God, right? Aside from trusting in Him and hoping in Him, blessing God is doing good works and being good to our neighbors. That is a concrete application of what it means to bless the Lord. Because come to think of it, to bless is to increase. And if you remember this morning's message, to glorify God is to mirror and shadow forth the goodness of God, and so we increase in that duty as we bless the Lord. But remember, God blessing us practically means giving us increase, but with all the intention for us to live and have our being in worship of Him. Therefore, us blessing God is giving more and all of ourselves to Him in good works. Yes, but also in our adoration of Him. In fact, our good works must be the natural overflow of our adoration of Him. They cannot be divorced with one another. Our adoration of Him and our good works. So blessing Him is an increase of our love for Him, our joy in Him, our communion with Him. And this could also mean in a very personal way, as we read this word, there is that communal sense to it. Do we experience that when we open the Word of God and read the Word of God? Is there a sense of communal sense to it? Now, one of my favorite illustrations, I will never forget, an elderly, godly lady from one of our previous churches way back in 2012, 10 years ago. I will never forget that evening when we were having a prayer meeting and we were reading a passage in 1 Corinthians about the glory of God. You know that passage? God removing the veil. And we were taking turns in reading this long passage, and when she was reading her assigned portion of the passage, while reading, she stopped. And just like how we look, how we look someone, okay, confused, we all looked at her, and she tried to continue reading. Then she stopped again. And this is what she said. I cannot contain it anymore. This is too much for me to read. You were surprised. Why? And after our prayer meeting, we asked her what happened, and she said, God's word was too much for her to handle at the moment, because it was too glorious. She was not a Pentecostal. It was not a Pentecostal church. She was not about to, you know, laugh in spirit and cry in spirit. She's not charismatic at all. She was probably the most conservative person I ever knew. But I remember that night like it was just yesterday, because I would love to experience that. As I open God's Word and read the Holy Word of God, it's as if a communion with God through His Word. Or in my private prayers, enjoying a conversation with my God as His Word comes alive. Now, having been blessed by God, we are to bless Him as well. And here is another insight, again, pardon me, from Greek language, and I will end here. When we look at the word blessed in Greek language, it is called Makarios, which literally means a happy man, a happy person. But a happy person in the understanding of this world is the opposite of what it means to be a happy man and woman, as the word blessed in the Bible suggests. So let me connect this point probably to another word in Latin can bring this home. There is a Latin phrase which was coined by a guy named Cicero, which is called summum bonum, which means the highest good. Aristotle believed that summum bonum pertains to man's happiness, and that happiness is achieving all the good things: physical health, material wealth, achieving high education, and relationships. The only one thing that he missed, which is the most important thing, is the source of all good things. Now, Herman Bavinck said, God and God alone is man's highest good. And we can also say, in the light of our blessedness in God, that God and God alone is man's highest happiness. Therefore, I believe that material blessings has twofold purpose. Number one is for us to acknowledge the goodness and kindness of a good God, that He is the source of all good things. That's the first one. But the second one is to show man that there's no amount of blessings and good things that will ever fully satisfy. Therefore, they serve to point us to the all-sufficient God who truly and fully satisfies. On the other hand, I also believe that pain has twofold purpose. First is to show the truth that God has subjected everything in this world to futility because of sin. But second is for it to lead us to God, the only one who can save man from his miseries and comfort him from all his brokenness and be that ever-present hope. Blessings and pains both point us to God. God is the source of all good things because He is the highest good. And God is the deliverer. He is the comforter. He satisfies. Let us rest in that truth, and may that truth encourage us, brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, if you are here right now and you know in your heart of hearts that you only confess your faith to God with your mouth, but is still living in sin and darkness, the Bible teaches that the highest good God has given to sinners like us is His only Son, Jesus Christ. He was crucified to save us from our sins, and through His suffering and death, we have been redeemed from the slave market of sin. He bore our sins upon Himself and gave us His righteousness. He was buried and He was raised on the third day so we can have the blessing of eternal life. That's interesting, right? The idea of increasing will stop at that point. When we were raised into glory as we spend our eternity in the rest of God. And so, my friend, believe in Him and repent from your sins. Call upon Him today and be saved. The Apostle Paul in his book to the Romans said, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, you will be saved. And the psalmist in Psalm 115 has made it clear that the God who is in the heavens and who does what He pleases is good to His people, to Him, to whom His covenant loyalty is given, and that He wants to bless them and give them increase in their joy in Him. He does not want to share this communion with the counterfeit gods that we have in this world. That could be your job. That could be a person. That could be a sport. God doesn't want to share His glory with His counterfeit gods. The glory is His alone. As the first of the Ten Commandments clearly states, you shall have no other gods before Me. And so, beloved, our goal is to always give God the glory alone. Therefore, we become more and more like Him and not more and more like the world. A final shout of free soul as we sing this psalm with the psalmist and pronounce, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Let me end by sharing the lyrics of a 200-year-old hymn entitled Eternal God, Almighty Cause. Have a listen. Eternal God, Almighty Cause of earth and seas and worlds unknown, all things are subject to Thy laws, all things depend on Thee alone. Thy glorious being singly stands of all within itself possessed, by none controlled in Thy commands, and in Thyself completely blessed. To Thee alone ourselves we owe, let heaven and earth due homage pay. All other gods we disavow, deny their claims, renounce their sway. In Thee, O Lord, our hope shall rest, fountain of peace and joy and love. Thy favor only makes us blessed, without Thee all would nothing prove. Worship to Thee alone belongs, worship to Thee alone we give. Thine be our hearts and Thine our songs, and to Thy glory let us live. Spread Thy great name through heathen lands, their idol deities the throne. Subdue the world to Thy commands, and reign as Thou art God alone. Let us pray. Our glorious and wonderful God, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, the exact imprint of Your majesty and Your glory made public in His person. And we thank You for Jesus Christ in His perfect life, satisfied the demands of the law of a perfect righteousness. And in His death, He satisfied the requirement of the law for the punishment of our sins. And so, by grace, through faith in His person and His work, we are saved. And we give You back all the thanks and all the praise. And now, we ask that by Your Spirit, help us to live a life that glorifies Your name. By Your Spirit, help us to be a faithful covenant member of this church, fulfilling our duties as we delight.